Two summers ago, I preached a sermon on one of the biggest questions in life. How can the God who created so much good, good that we experience all around us, also allow so much suffering? How can the God who has revealed his goodness and great love for humanity through the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, into history, how can that same God stand by as people suffer? Those are big questions. I actually preached a few sermons on suffering over the years, though this one I'm referring to here from two summers ago was really meant as a comprehensive look at it. Yesterday I spent 2+ hours sitting in a room with people who are suffering from the incident we've been talking about here, and that's that is raw, gut-wrenching, scream-worthy type of suffering. Many of us here today are feeling pain over this as well, even though we're one step removed from it. We're not direct family. So events like this are likely to bring that question back into our minds, the question of why there's great suffering in a world set up by a good God. And I thought perhaps it might be good for our church body here today to talk this subject through again. So I'm going to re-preach that sermon to you from a couple summers ago. Now, if Natalie and the others were going to be here this morning, and I knew they weren't going to be, I likely wouldn't preach this sermon right now, because when you're in the moment, it's not the best time really to be sitting down and listening to a teaching on what the Bible says about suffering. I think after a good chunk of time has gone on, they may, these may be words they want to consider and think about, but probably not right now. For us, though, since we are one step removed from the pain of this, even though we're grieving as well, I think it's more appropriate, it might even be important for us today to think through some of this stuff again. That big old question might have popped into your mind when you heard the news of why God allows suffering. Of course, you know already, I can't tell you the reason why this specific event has happened. Only God could explain that, and we're not going to know the answer to that this side of heaven. So we can only talk in generalities about why suffering, but the Bible does have some general things to say on the topic and that we can take a look at. So my intent for you today is to present to you a real solid look at what the Bible says about suffering, and my hope is that this study will help you grapple with this difficult topic. So let's dive right in. I think it's important that the first point you make in a sermon on this topic is this one, drawn from the first two chapters of Genesis. God did not originally intend suffering. The Bible tells us God did not originally intend for there to be suffering. And you'll all be at least somewhat familiar with the story of Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden. No pain there. All human needs were provided for as that original couple lived in the bountiful garden. Adam and Eve had a face-to-face relationship with their Creator God. They had a purpose, they had good relationships, no death or evil. All was, in the words of Genesis, very good. This was God's original intention for humanity, says the Bible, and suffering was not part of it. But quickly, the next point follows, also drawn from Genesis, and that is that sin brought about the need for and the consequence of suffering and death. Sin brought about the need for and the consequence of suffering and death. We're taught in Genesis chapter 3 that we human beings, starting with Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve were deceived into believing that there was something better out there than what God had for them. And we, through them, decided to go our own way, to be masters of our own destiny, to leave our Creator behind. Walking away from your life, from the life-giving, life-sustaining Creator is an extremely serious choice, a deadly serious choice. And that decision is labeled sin, and it messed up the entirety of creation. That third chapter in Genesis tells us that God felt it necessary after sin came on the scene to remove earthly eternal life from human beings. Death entered the picture. as did suffering and pain. We were kicked out of the garden. We lost access to that face-to-face relationship with the one who wanted to be our good father. God then even cursed his wonderful natural creation so that it would reflect the spiritual state of those he had designed to rule over it. Sin messed up the whole thing. And so one thing that we need to come to grips with now is the fact that even though suffering was not originally intended by God, he does intend it now, given a sinful humanity. God does intend suffering, or at least we must say that he allows it, and I'll need to explain this a bit. As soon as sin entered the world and messed everything up, God initiated a plan to minimize the damage and to restore all that he could of what had been lost. It's hinted at in Genesis 3, and then God's plan becomes more and more clear as you read through the Bible, as biblical history goes along. And we know, of course, now from our vantage point that the centerpiece of this plan was Jesus dying on the cross to make a way for us to be saved from our sins. So immediately after sin entered the picture, there was a plan to save. However, suffering was going to be a necessary part of God's restorative plan. And for this point, I'm going to use an illustration from the life of Wes Smith. I didn't ask permission the first time, but I did today. First time I preached this, but I know Wes, and I knew he would be fine with it. So among if you know Wes's story, there are a good number of crazy and dangerous scenarios he has been through in his life, as he says he's been cheating death all of his life, and this is one of them. This is a story where Wes once unscrewed the cap of a car radiator that was not ready to be unscrewed, and it exploded on him, knocked him back a good number of feet, and covering him in burning hot coolant fluid. His hands were blown into his face, so actually his eyes were spared. God's mercy for him there. But he did receive terribly bad burns on about 20% of his body. At the hospital then, and of course this is my memory of the story, but I'm pretty sure I got it right. At the hospital, the doctors immersed him completely in a liquid chemical that is designed to help with burns. And Wes said it was one of the most painful experiences of his life, being immersed into that liquid. However, almost immediately after coming out of the liquid, he began to feel better, and his burns ended up healing quite nicely, helped out by that chemical, whatever it was. So something terribly serious had happened to Wes, and his body needed to be subjected to searing pain in order to be restored from the terrible thing that had happened to it. I think this can illustrate for us a bit, to some extent anyway, what we're talking about here. Something terribly serious had happened to the human race called sin. And the entire human race, even the whole of creation, according to God's judgment, had to be subjected to terrible pain in order to save it. Through pain and the other elements of God's plan, God was going to be able to bring some of his lost human creatures back into the situation he originally intended for us, experiencing that close personal relationship with him. Again, no pain or death, just blessing and abundance for eternity. This would be heaven. Look at Romans chapter 8 with me here. This is a passage about the curse that God put onto the natural order back after the first human sin. This is Romans 8, verse 20. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, God, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. So God, Paul's talking about nature there and God's and the curse that is upon nature, but he ties it into this great plan of God's to free and save human beings from sin. And Paul says that the curse on the natural order was put in place in hope that even creation would be freed from decay and death when the fullness of God's plan for humanity comes to fruition. And certainly if the curse on nature was put in place by God to one day ultimately save it in the new heaven and new earth, then the curse on the human race suffering and death also was put into place to help limit the damage and help bring about restoration and healing. So suffering is part of God's plan to restore his original good intention for human beings. He does intend / allow suffering now. It does not mean that each specific event that causes or has caused suffering on the earth came from a direct command from God's lips. There are many potential causes of suffering in this world. God gifted free will to human beings so that we would not be robotic creatures programmed to love him. We are creatures capable of freely choosing love and goodness. However, that freedom also allowed for the possibility that some people would not choose love and goodness, and many, many haven't. So human cruelty and selfishness, that causes much of the suffering in this world. The Bible also talks about an enemy and evil spiritual forces that hold sway over much of the planet seeking to cause destruction. I think we might think of ISIS as a group of people that have been deluded and confused by the enemy and who cause terrible suffering. And then we saw a moment ago that the whole natural order has this curse on it. And I think we can see that. We observe just in our own bodies the incredible design built into it and how it is supposed to work. And then we observe that our bodies break down and things fall apart and we get sick. And, you know, I guess I think that the suffering we experience in life often may have nothing to do with us, but it's just simply an outworking of the brokenness of a broken world. So the whole system of nature is broken. So yeah, there are all kinds of reasons why a specific instance of suffering might have occurred. We shouldn't pin every event that causes suffering directly onto God. However, whether you're a person who believes that God has mapped out ahead of time every event that will happen in every action in world history, or you believe that there is some freedom worked into that system, in either case, every Christian believes that God is ultimately in control, right? And so that would lead us to say then that all pain, it has to be either intended or allowed by God. All pain is either intended or allowed by God, either directly or indirectly, and much of it likely is indirect. So God may not have specifically intended the particular suffering you have experienced in your life, but I believe he has intended or allowed for there to be suffering, generally speaking, in life. It wasn't his original intention, but it was something God deemed necessary as part of his effort to restore and redeem the world after sin messed it all up. So, God did not originally intend suffering. Sin brought about the need for and the consequence of suffering and death. So, God does intend suffering now. At least we must say he allows it. This does not mean that each specific event that causes suffering came from a direct command from God's lips. Suffering, generally speaking, is part of God's plan to restore his original good intention for human beings. And you know, if you read the Bible, you know the Bible's consistent in talking about this and how it portrays suffering. Throughout the entire Bible, we see people suffering from time to time, even God's people, right? So there's also record of tremendous blessing from God and times of healing and restoration for God followers. But suffering's a part of this life. Even Jesus suffered tremendously here. So if you have suffering in your life, you are not alone. It's part of the deal here. And then in the Bible stories, God, we see Jesus healing some people, but he didn't heal everybody, right? That's hard to understand. I think this is still the experience of the church today. Here in our midst, we pray for healing, and we have seen some healings, things that you would chalk up under the miraculous category. And then sometimes we pray and there isn't a healing. And I think that's consistent from what I understand throughout Christianity. And we don't know why. God has his reasons. They're good reasons, I'm sure. But in any case, the Bible consistently teaches the reality of human suffering in this life. Okay, so why would be the next question? We're saying pain was a necessary part of God's good plan to save the earth. Why? Why would pain and suffering? That sounds like a terrible idea, right? Why would suffering and pain help save some people from sin? Oh, I know the answer. It's an easy one, I'll tell you right now. You ready for it? Are you kidding? I can't tell you the answer to that question. I have no idea. I can't come up with the definitive answer on this one, but you know what? We can understand some of the ways in which God uses suffering to accomplish his good purposes, and I've got some thoughts for you. I'll start with what I think is actually the most important one here of the possibilities I'll suggest. Suffering forces us to depend on God. Suffering forces us to depend on God. You know what? Pain sometimes is the only thing that can get us self-focused, pleasure-seeking human beings to pay attention to God. When things are growing great, we don't think about God too much, maybe. It seems that we often need to come to desperate situations like these before we're ready to admit we can't do life on our own. We need our Creator. So I think this is a really important one as we're thinking in regards to this question of why God would allow suffering in his plan to save people. If there was no pain, how would we learn that we are on this path to eternal destruction because of our sins? C.S. Lewis wrote that pain shatters the illusion that all is well. Pain shatters the illusion that all is well. Suffering is an important piece in this effort of God's to move people back into dependence upon him. Suffering can bring us to our knees, and that's where we're supposed to be. Here are some other thoughts. The Apostle Paul taught that suffering allows us to better understand who God is. Suffering allows us to better understand who God is. I can tell you there are many of us here in this building today who have been knocked down to our knees in the past, and also many of us who would tell you what they experienced after that, through time, we experienced being picked up by God when we were in the pit of despair and placed back on level ground. We experienced God as a Savior. Many of us here have experienced God's comfort in various ways as we have suffered. So we've learned of God's love through those experiences. You think in the Bible, how many people did God come to the rescue for? You know, David and Ruth and the Apostle Paul. So God can use suffering to show us his love and teach us the truth about who he is and to correct our thinking about him. One of the ways that God can use suffering to bring about good. And then you know this one, suffering creates within us the ability to comfort others. It's another way that God can mold us and make us usable for his purposes. We become more sensitive to pain in other people when we have gone through it ourselves. There's no doubt about that. So God will use these tough experiences we've gone through to make us better at being his hands and feet in the world and bringing love and comfort to others. There are other ways the Bible points out that God can mold our characters through pain. Bible says that suffering toughens us up. It creates within us endurance, perseverance. Suffering keeps us from being arrogant. When you realize that there are a good number of things completely out of your control, it humbles you. And humility is a trait that God wants to work in us. And then suffering teaches us the truth about this world that we've been born into in the Bible. Tells us this, that this world is not our home. This world is not our home. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, not here. We're not supposed to live here for forever. and suffering and pain and our failing bodies, all of these things send us that message. Any of us could pass away at any time. This is not the permanent place, so don't get too comfortable here. Heaven is compared to the promised land that God had for Israel when they left Egypt. And, you know, it was in the promised land where the Israelites were going to have rest and peace and abundant life. On their way to the promised land, they were going to struggle. And that's true for us here as well. Life here is the path to the promised land. It's not the promised land in itself. Suffering communicates these things to us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day, for our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So suffering teaches us the truth about this world we've been born into. It's not our home. And these are all ways that God can use suffering to accomplish good purposes. Just like Wes, who went through that terrible pain being immersed in that liquid chemical after being burned so badly, a pain that led to his healing. We too can receive healing from the fatal infection of sin we have on us through living in this world, which is going to, from time to time, bring pain to us. Just a couple more thoughts for you now. Something we need to know, too, about suffering from the Bible is the Bible tells us, makes it clear that we have hope through him in the midst of suffering. God is present with those who call upon his name. That teaching is found throughout the Bible. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. God goes through the experiences with us. Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23, he's there with us. We can take heart in that. And then, of course, God also gives us the hope of heaven. Philippians 3:20, that's the one where Paul taught that our citizenship is in heaven, not here. And right after saying that, he writes, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will become like his glorious body. Pain's going to come to an end. All will be made right. It's the hope of heaven. When we make Jesus our Lord, we have the hope of God's presence with us now. We have the hope of heaven to come. These are things that can keep you going. Man, I also need to tell you that if the presence of suffering in a world created by a good God is a riddle, Jesus is the key. He's the answer. First of all, you know, well, if Jesus had never lived, we wouldn't have strong evidential proofs of God's existence beyond, of course, the incredible works of his hands that we see in nature all around us every day. No small thing there. But Jesus puts that evidence over the top. And that allows us then to trust the message of the Bible about who God is. And all these things that we've been saying here today, we can know they're true. Because of Jesus, we can have hope. All hinges on him. He's the key. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that Jesus is the image of God. And Jesus taught that about himself as well. So the Bible teaches that if you want to know what God's character is like, look at Jesus. And guess what? Jesus cared about suffering people. He healed them. Jesus is our window into viewing God's true character. He's key to answering this question about a good God and suffering. Jesus shows us God's true character. Another great thing is that Jesus is still alive and we can experience him now. And when you have had a no doubt experience with Jesus, you know that God is good. And then you can set some of those questions aside. You know, nowhere. Think about all the suffering the Apostle Paul went through. Do you realize that nowhere when he talks about suffering does he ever question God's goodness? You know why? Because he met Jesus Christ. Okay? And once you meet Jesus, you don't doubt God's goodness anymore. Jesus is a key to the riddle of suffering. And then, of course, there's this about Jesus as well that helps us deal with this topic. Jesus suffered too. So God didn't just subject human beings to pain as part of his plan to save. He subjected himself to pain as well through the sending of his son to the cross. Jesus took on some of the worst of that necessary pain so that we wouldn't have to, so that we could have the possibility of being saved. God knows what suffering feels like. He's not aloof up there. He can relate to us. We can relate to him because of Jesus' pain. God even knows what it's like to stand by and watch a child die, his son. Because Jesus suffered, we know that God understands our pain. When it comes to the riddle of God and the reality of suffering, Jesus is the key to resolving it. And then one last thing we got to say about what the Bible says about suffering is that over and over and over again in Scripture, when that suffering topic comes up, the Bible tells us simply to trust God. Trust God. That old biblical book about suffering entitled Job teaches us that we ought to exercise some caution when we question the goodness and the motivations of the God who laid the foundations of the earth, who put the stars in their place, the God who gives the horse his strength and commands eagles to soar. We'll never understand the reasons for things that God does at the level that God understands them. We saw God saying this through the prophet Isaiah in our sermon just last Sunday, Isaiah 55. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And the message there is to trust him. Trust that God has made the best decisions for how things should go. Jesus gave the same message. Remember that scene where he's sleeping in the middle of the storm in the boat? Everybody else is freaking out. Lightning everywhere, huge waves, and Jesus is asleep. They wake him up after a while, and he says, "Why are you afraid? You got me in the boat with you. Trust me." And then it says in Matthew 8 that Jesus got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." The Bible asks us to trust in God. When we don't understand, trust God. How would you behave if you knew that everything was going to turn out all right in the end? Well, there we go. We've covered an awful lot of ground in our comprehensive look at what the Bible has to say about suffering. Let's review it now. We've said this this morning, that God did not originally intend suffering, but it was sin that brought about the need for and the consequence of suffering and death. So God does intend suffering now, or at least we must say he allows it. However, this does not mean that each specific event that causes or has caused suffering on the earth came from a direct command from God's lips. There are all kinds of reasons why a person might experience suffering in this world. Suffering in general is part of God's plan to restore his original good intention for human beings. The Bible consistently teaches the reality of human suffering in this life. We can understand some of the ways in which God uses suffering for good purposes. For example, suffering forces us to depend upon God. Big one there. Suffering allows us to better understand who God is. He is a Savior. Suffering creates within us the ability to comfort others. It toughens us. It creates within us endurance and perseverance. Suffering keeps us from becoming arrogant. Suffering teaches us the truth about this world that we've been born into, that it's not our home. We've also noted today that God has given hope in the midst of suffering to those who follow him. He is present with those who call upon his name. God also gives the hope of heaven. We said that if suffering is a riddle, then Jesus is the key to resolving it. If Jesus hadn't lived, we wouldn't have the hope that we have. The Bible teaches that if you want to know what God's character is like, look at Jesus, and Jesus cared about suffering people. When you've experienced Jesus, you know that God is good. And because Jesus suffered, we know that God understands pain. Jesus is key in this pursuit to understand suffering. And then the final point we looked at was just the fact that the Bible asks us to trust in God when we don't understand, just trust. The Bible has all of that to say. Topic of suffering. Well, this effort today to study what the Bible says on suffering is, it's not just an exercise in learning or in practicing theology. Okay, suffering is a very real, very raw reality in our lives, as has been in evidence in our church family in these past few days. It can punch us in the gut. I don't see the things that we've looked at here today as bullet points on a screen or as an outline. Instead, I see these concepts as a lifeline. It's vital that we understand the truth about God and about suffering and that we have the correct perspective on life as we struggle here. Suffering's a reality in this messed up world, but we have not been left completely without answers. We have not been left to handle all of this on our own. We have hope. We have Jesus Christ. Therefore, a Christ follower, live by faith and not by sight. We're not going to understand everything. Don't lose your trust in God. So live by faith, not by sight. Therefore, Christian, don't lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And I'll close our look at the topic of suffering by quoting not inappropriately from that book of Job. Job 19, verses 25 to 27, where the man Job, while still in his great torment, calls out, "But I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. May the name of the Lord be praised." Amen.